chapter 23. Tonight we're going to conclude our series on the cry of the cross with the final cry, the cry of committal. The cry of committal. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And had said thus, he gave up the ghost. Once again, we come to Calvary. Calvary, where we see man at his worst and God at his best. Calvary, where Jesus gave his all and finished the redemptive work that God sent him to do. Calvary, where our souls find rest, joy unspeakable, happiness, and heaven too. Calvary, where we hear the most wonderful story ever told. Calvary, the greatest expression of God's love. Seven times Jesus cried from the cross. First of all, he spoke to the Father on behalf of others. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Secondly, he spoke to the thief on the cross and promised him heaven. Thirdly, he spoke to John and provided for his mother. During all these three cries, the light is still there. But then the darkness comes, and when the fourth cry is made, he cries to God in prayer, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son has been made sin. Now he's in the throes of death. His fifth cry, he spoke to the spectators, and he cried, I thirst. Sixthly, he spoke to heaven, earth, and hell, and cried, it is finished. And finally, he speaks again to the Father, Father, into thy hands I commend or I commit my spirit. Seven times Jesus cried from the cross. Seven is also the number for rest after a work has been completed. In 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. Now, Jesus' work of redemption, it is done. His sixth cry from the cross was, it is finished. Now, his seventh cry brings him to the place of rest. My message tonight, the cry of the cross, part 7, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, the cry of committal. Let us pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we've been watching as Jesus, Lord, is carried to the cross, as he suffers on the cross. And Lord, tonight, as he cries out to you with the completed work, oh, God, help us to understand the complete work. Help us to understand the brutality of man and the brutality, Lord, when you put the sins of the whole world upon him, Lord. You wanted to save man, and it cost you heaven's best, God's only begotten Son. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for this great salvation. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For 6 hours, Jesus hung upon the cross. For 3 hours, he suffered at the hands of men and of Satan. For 3 hours, he suffered separation from God. If you don't see that, then you miss it all. It was God the Father who thrust the sins of the whole world upon him. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now it's all over. And Jesus is back in communion with the Father. Point number one, we see a wonderful change has taken place. A wonderful change has taken place. When Jesus was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, he became separated from God. God forsook him at that time and turned his back on him. Yet God says to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. Yet God forsook Jesus on the cross. But now Christ has taken all of the guilt, all of our sins upon himself, and he has paid the price in full. He has suffered at the hands of men. He has suffered hell's punishment for us. The precious blood has been shed. The outpoured wrath of God for sin has been endured by the sacrificial lamb. His work is done. So the cloud lifts, and Jesus is back in communion, back in fellowship with the Father. And he cries from the cross, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now, I want you to think about that, because when he was made sin, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness covered the earth, and he's forsaken of God, and he doesn't cry, Father. He cries, my God, the Lamb has been made sin. But now he's paid redemption's price, and once again, he can turn and say, Father. Hallelujah. What a great, great God. What a great Savior. Never again can wicked men torture him. Never again will he have to suffer shame. He has committed himself to God, and from this point on, God will take care of him. The Bible says it's a fearful thing for the sinner to fall in the hands of the living God. But it's a wonderful thing for his only begotten Son to fall into the hands of a loving Father. And it's a wonderful thing for the saints of God to fall into the hands of a loving Father. See, Jesus committed his spirit into the hands of the loving Father. Paul, before he ever died, Paul said, whether I live unto the Lord, or whether I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. And you can live and you can have that type of commitment to God, and it's only cost you full surrender. That's it. God wants you to surrender. He wants me to surrender to the total will of the Father. What did the Father do for Jesus after he had done what he did on that cross for you and me? Well, 3 days later, he raised him from the dead. 40 days later, he took him home to heaven. He exalted him and gave him a name above every name. The Bible says, and without controversy, greater the mistress of godliness, he was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on this world, received up unto glory. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, also in this world, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Because of the price Jesus paid, God highly exalted that name. That name carries power in three worlds. That name is a name where you can come to God through and get saved. You can come to the throne of grace and get healed when you pray in that name. You can pray in that name and God will take care of all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That name is a name above every name. It is the name of Jesus. Today, Jesus sits upon the Father's throne as Lord and high priest of a new and a better covenant that he cut with his own precious blood. And someday he will visit this earth again, but this time he will not come as the meek, lowly man of Galilee. This time he will come in glory, and he will come to rule and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. He is the King. He is the King of kings. There is none before him. Hallelujah. And he is the one that God has exalted and given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth into his name. So when you and I speak that name, I want you to get a hold of this. You're not just talking. See, some people, they pray prayers that to the audience. That doesn't do a thing with God. When you pray a prayer to God, or when you stand in the name of Jesus and say, Satan, devil, I break your power in the name of Jesus. By Calvary's blood, he understands that name. Prayers that are prayed to audience with eloquence, they don't do a thing. They don't go anywhere. They just fall on deaf ears, because once you're gone, the prayer just died. But when you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that name carries power in three worlds. But once cruel men judged him when he came the first time, this time when he comes back, he will judge men in righteousness and in truth. Once he was in their hands, this time they will be in his hands. Once they cried away with him, this time he will say, depart from me, ye evil workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And as Jesus is hanging upon the cross, he is in perfect communion and fellowship with the Father. That shows me something. That shows us that we can be in perfect communion with the Father no matter what the circumstances of life, if our hearts are right with him. Hallelujah. They threw Daniel into the lion's den, but his heart was right with God. And in the middle of the night, he had fellowship with the Father. They threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, but they had fellowship with the Father. The king looked into the furnace and said, didn't we throw three men in? And then he cried out, I see four men. And the fourth man looks like unto the Son of God. I tell you, he'll get in the fire with you. He'll go through the tests with you. He'll go through the trials with you. And you can have fellowship with him when your heart is aching, almost breaking. Anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright, but you can have a song in your heart in the night, and you can have fellowship with the Lord anytime you choose. They put Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail, and at midnight they began to sing praises unto God. They weren't grumbling, they weren't griping, they weren't complaining, but they were shouting and they were singing because their hearts were right with God. Yes, I'll tell you something. If your heart is right with God, even though sorrows and troubles come, you can have fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? See, nothing can separate us from God's love. And death is nothing more than a doorway into heaven itself. Hallelujah. We can have fellowship with the Father even in the hour of death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, he's with us. Everywhere he goes, we go, we can have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Ghost. When we know Christ as our Savior, a wonderful change takes place in our heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. See, we can never know God as our Father until we know Jesus as our Savior. And then if you're going to know him as your Savior, why don't you just go on and take the next step and make him Lord and Master? Those lepers down at Samaria, when Jesus went through Samaria, they cried out, Jesus, Master. What they were saying is, Jesus, one who is in charge, Jesus, one who is in control, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus healed them. Only one of them came back, though, thanking him and praising him. Jesus said, where the other nine? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where the other nine? But one came back to praise him and worship him. That depicts the church world today. That depicts the church world. Some people, they like you throw a dog a bone and he picks it up, wags his tail, and runs off with it. I'm going to tell you, this is a great salvation. This is not a joking matter. This is something it took the Son of God's blood to redeem you and me. It took God's himself dying for our sins. And God loved us that much. And if he loved me that much, and he loved you that much, and he loves the sinner that much, how much more should we love him and serve him? Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Amen. He's a great, great Savior. Amen. So here, as Jesus is dying, we see a wonderful change has taken place. Earlier, our sin bearer has drunk the bitter cup for the sins of the whole world, and God has had to turn his face away from him. God had forsaken him, but now he is back in communion with the Father, and he cries, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Not only do we see a wonderful change taking place, but secondly, we see the redemptive blood of the cross. The redemptive blood. In the Old Testament times, thousands of priests offered animal sacrifices year after year. History tells that a quarter of a million lambs, 250,000 lambs, were slain each year on Jewish altars in order that man might stand justified before God. But all of these sacrifices, they were only symbols. They were shadows. They were types of the true Lamb that would come, Jesus Christ, who would shed his precious blood at Calvary's cross. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10 and 1. Hebrews 10 and 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which are offered year by year, continue to make the coming thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Because the worshiper once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made of sin each year. In other words, those sacrifices, they could cover the sin, but they could never remove the sin nature. They could never change your nature. They could never satisfy the claims of justice. And so year after year, they had to come back to this altar, sacrificing animals over and over and over again. And history says 250,000 a year lambs. 250,000 lambs were slain each year on Jewish altars. Now look at this, Hebrews 10 and 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Then Paul comes along and says, for what the law could not do in its weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemn sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. See, the blood of goats and bulls could not atone for our sins. It could not take care of it. That's why Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, came to this earth. That's why he was formed and fashioned as a man. He went to an old rugged cross, and he shed his blood to redeem you and me. It took holy blood. It took pure blood. It took God's blood. The blood of his son, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb without spot, blemish, or anything like that to redeem you and me. Look at Hebrews 9 and 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Look at this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, nothing could cleanse the conscience. The guilt, the shame, the pain, it was still there. All that Old Testament blood of goats and bulls, all it ever did was provide a covering. Life is in the blood and those innocent lambs, and they had to be slain, so there was a blood sacrifice. But Jesus, he enters into the holiest of holies once and for all, and through the eternal Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, he offered himself to God without spot, without a blemish. Amen. He was the perfect Lamb. Amen. He said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. He said, this commandment have I received from my Father. He knew he was born to bleed, born to die on a cross for you and me. It was brutal. I want to paint it as brutal as I can paint it with words. Amen. Because we need to see the suffering Savior. We need to understand the price that was paid. We need to know that when that Roman soldier, that big, brawny soldier, and they would pick the biggest ones they had, that strong, muscular man took that cat of nine tails that had straps on it, leather straps with bones tied to it, that when he took that stripe and ripped it back, that it tore the very flesh right down to the bones, and his bones were exposed. Amen. We need to understand what he did in order to redeem us, that he took care of our sin. He took care of our emotional problem. He took care of sickness and disease. And once you see that, you say, God, You can't lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? God, your son suffered for my healing. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. See, it's not just words. It's the word of God. It's living and it's powerful. And if you'll say it and get a hold of it and see the price paid, praise God, you can be free. You can be healed anytime you will release your faith and believe. God has no other way to deal with sin or with the sinner except through the blood. Amen. The theme of the Bible is the precious blood of Jesus. Take the blood out of the Bible, and what do you have? A Bible with no heart. A gospel with no saving power. A message with no hope. We have people who want to take the blood out of our songs. We have preachers who preach a bloodless gospel. But those who deny the blood and its redemptive power, they're bringing destruction on themselves and the people that listen to them. And I need to say this. If the message of the blood of Jesus Christ is repulsive to you, then that in itself is a sign that you are lost and that you need to be spiritually awakened and that you need to be born again. Thank God for the blood. I was going over this today and studying in my prayer chamber, and all of a sudden I got plugged in. And I got to weeping, I got to crying, I got to praising God. I said, Lord, we're having church right here, just you and me. And I was having a good time, and I stayed in that place for a good long while. And I praise God for the power of the blood. The Apostle Paul, he spoke plainly about the blood. He said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Aren't you glad for the blood? That the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to your heart. And then you came back and you were sanctified by the blood. And the blood washed all that filth, broke every chain. And the Son set you free. And then the Holy Ghost came along and he applied a little more. Then you got under some good Holy Ghost preaching and you got washed and sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. So we're sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We're sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. And then he says, sanctify yourself, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and pure holiness. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. And be filled with the Holy Ghost to where you're plugged into another world. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you can't get out of this fleshly body and get up into the spirit, then come and I'll lay hands on you, praise God. And before you leave this place tonight, you'll be plugged in and shouting the victory in Jesus' mighty name. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. I saw Sister Clara coming in. She just sort of ambling along a little like that, you know, like but I tell you what, if you get up right now, Sister Clara, I believe you have a little pep in your step. I see that smile. I see that joy. I see that glory on you. That's what it takes, is get under the spout where the Spirit is poured out. Get in a Holy Ghost service where God can refresh you and heal your body. You can be healed while I'm preaching the Word of God, because he took stripes for your healing. And all we need is preachers that are bold enough to stand up and pray and preach and watch God work. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I was born in Pentecostal fire. And I promise you one thing, I don't plan to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday. Others can live there if they want to. But hallelujah, I'm hot for God. I'm in pursuit of God, and I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I want to take everybody to that celestial city that I want to get on the glory bound train and go with us. Hallelujah. Go on, praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, the hymns of the old church, they pointed the way to God. Said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lewis C. Jones, he knew what he was talking about when he penned these words. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. See, those old songwriters, they knew what they were talking about. Listen to this one right here. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and shame. Lose all their guilt and shame. Lose all their guilt and shame. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilt and shame. Sing it with me. Lose all their guilt and shame. Lose all their guilt and shame. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilt and shame. Oh, what a gospel. What a Savior. Hallelujah. See, though many churches no longer sing the wonderful truths, and though some preachers replace it with a humanistic doctrine and gospel, that has not diminished the power of the blood one iota. We've got some people still drinking their Jack Daniels. Amen. We got some people in the church who, after years, are still smoking their cigarettes and marijuana. We got some people who are sleeping around, shacking up, amen, and going to wild parties, and they're in the church. We got some people with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. But what people do and what people say and what people think, that does not change the gospel message, because there is still power in the blood. And there is no chain, no bondage, no sin, no sickness, no disease that the blood cannot deliver from. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I was brought up in a church where I heard good Holy Ghost preaching, because we live in a church age where they're trying to water the doctrine down. They're trying anything and everything but what the Bible says to do. Stick with the book. Stick with what God says. And stick with the name of Jesus and what the book, the Holy Bible, has to say, and you'll make it and you'll have victory on the way to heaven. Amen. See, Jesus was born to bleed. That's the reason he came into this world. Jesus offers a blood transfusion to men and women who are dying in their sin, and he is the greatest blood donor of all ages. Just that old song said, right, it said, each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. I love those old songs. They're just down in me. Mother and Daddy sang them, and I didn't know how much gospel was in them until I got saved and started reading the Bible. And then I said, my Lord, I know that from the songs. All those wonderful songs that they sang over and over again. Over and over, the Bible expresses the importance of the shed blood. Listen to this. Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood, which is shed for you. The Apostle Paul reminds of the importance of the blood. He said, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He said, we have peace through the blood of his cross. He said, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He said, we are justified by his blood, to be made just as if you had never sinned. John the Beloved tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. And then in the book of Revelation, he said, unto him that loved us and washed us and cleansed us from our sins in his own precious blood. John stood at the foot of the cross. He saw the Savior bleed. He saw everything he went through. The others, they ran and left him. But John said, guess what? I had to go back to that cross myself. I had to go get a blood transfusion. He didn't say unto him that loved you and washed you. He said unto him that loved us and washed us and cleansed us. He included himself in that, in his own precious blood. Peter tells us, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ. See, the blood, my friends, the blood represents life. And our Savior, he gave his life. And in the shedding of his blood, he did that so that men and women could find hope now and for all eternity. This is the message that the church must never, never abandon. When Jesus took his own precious blood into the heavenly holiest of holies, God accepted that blood. I like to think about him when he's coming into heaven. And I can see the angels, and they've been watching him all this time. They've been there at everything he's done. They were there at his birth. They were there at the cross. They were there in his earthly ministry, there at the cross. They were there when he was taken up on the cloud at the Mount of Olivet and went back home. And they were there when he came into heaven. And I can hear them as they begin to sing, "Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. "Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. And when Jesus Christ died and went into that underworld, he stripped the devil of his power, made a show of him openly, took the keys of death and hell away from him. John said, "I saw him laid on the Isle of Patmos," and he rattled the keys in his face and said, "Hey, John, I've got the keys of hell and of the grave, and I've given them to my church. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." He said, "I've got the keys, and I'm giving them to my church." But when he came into the heaven that day, and the angels were watching him, he marched down to the very throne of God, and he took his blood, and he put it on the mercy seat in the heavenly holiest of holiest. And God the Father, he accepted that blood. Amen. And the claims of justice, they have been satisfied. And now anyone and everyone and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved. Hallelujah. The Bible says if the devils had known the mystery that God had hidden for ages, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul comes along and he says the mystery which God hid is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The devil thought he had it made. He said, at least Jesus is not on the planet anymore. He's gone back to heaven. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost invaded that little upper room. 120 men and women come out of that little upper room. They look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, doing the same works that Jesus did. And the devil knew he was in big trouble. I think it's time for the church to rise up in prayer, to rise up in praise, get full of the Holy Ghost again, and take the devil and storm the gates of darkness, amen, and take this world back to Jesus. That's where it belongs. That's why he left the church. Amen. I'm preaching better than you shouting. Whole lot better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All I want to do is give you Bible, 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 Bible. I just wanted you to get this thing in your spirit. And I do it to stir up my own spirit. I do it to stir the gifts up inside of me. And I pray, oh God, let this spirit, the inner man, let him get out. Hallelujah. See, the devil's taken our shout. He has. Where's the dance in the church? Where the shouts? Where the praises? Oh, we got a little form and fashion. Let me tell you something. You get a drug addict, an alcoholic, a whoremonger, an adulterer, really saved, really get born again, and you'll see them tear the place up. They'll shout, they'll dance, they act foolish. They're like newborn babes, and they've got a hold of something. They don't have any idea what they've got a hold of, but they got faith. Hallelujah. And they just praise God and believe God for anything. I love new converts. I love new Christians because they're radical. Somebody told me, said, "I thought after 6 months you would change." They told me this years after I got saved. Said, "But you ain't changed a bit." Said, "Matter of fact, I believe you're worse than you were when you got saved." I said, "Thank you very much." Amen. I pray that God will keep me broken. I could care less about position with man. I want position with God. I could care less about power with man. I want power with God. I could care less about pleasing man. I want to please God. And if they don't like me, that's their business. God says, "I want you to praise me. I want you to serve me. I want you to have a heart of thanksgiving. And whatever you go through, I want you to rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." If the church would just get happy again, it'd see a whole lot more of God. Amen. Paul and Silas, they weren't complaining and griping. I mean, they had a whole nation of Israel. They grumbled, they griped, they complained. They died in the wilderness. I tell people, if you can die in the wilderness if you want to, but I'm not dying there with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to go on with God. Amen. Oh, Abraham got to the mountain. God said, take your son, your only son. Take him over there to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And when he got there, he knew those other people couldn't go with him. He said, I tell you what, you stay here with the asses. Said, the lad and I, we're going to yonder mountain and worship the Lord. You can stay down there at the bottom of the hill if you want to, but you can go to the top of the hill if you want to. And you won't get it by just listening to me preach. You won't get it just by listening to television. You can get some good information down, Christian stuff, but I'll tell you where you'll get it. You'll get power with God in that book and alone in prayer. And that's it. The preacher's just here to sort of help you. He's not here to do everything for you. So I encourage you, read your book. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Amen. And you can have the victory. I promise you that. But you can't have it on the pablum that's coming out of some pulpits. You cannot have it. You will never have it. You can only get it on your knees and seeking God. Amen. Then get in a good service and you'll have something to shout about. Hallelujah. When Jesus offered his blood, redemption's price was paid in full. The law had been fully satisfied. The price is fully paid. And now no more offerings are necessary. Thank God the price is paid. The debt is satisfied. God is satisfied. And you don't have to add anything to what Jesus has done in order to be saved. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank God we have redemption through the blood. Which brings me to my third and final point. We have a safe haven for our souls. Jesus cried his final words from the cross and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He is quoting Psalms 31 and 5. Look at Psalms 31 and 5. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. In his final moments, Jesus turns to the scriptures. Just as he had always done, he turns to the Word of God. The songwriter said, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Sing it with me. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I don't know what that does for you, but I think about that. That I'm safe. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from God my Father as long as I choose to walk with the King. Hallelujah. Put your soul in his hands, and I promise you, your soul will be safe forevermore. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the Christ that died there. Thank God for the salvation that he freely gives. Thank God for the home in heaven that we have waiting for us. Hallelujah. When I preach about the cross and when I think of the cross and I think about what Jesus did, I can't tell you what that does for my own soul. I hope it has has blessed you, this series on the cross, that you see the Lord like you have never seen him and the price he paid for your redemption. And with great joy, I want to remind you that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. No matter what your sin might be, murder, adultery, alcoholism, drugs, pride, rebellion, or any other thing that separated you from the love of God, or from God rather, his grace and his mercy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it brings forgiveness to anyone and to everyone. Hallelujah. It does not matter how many times you have sinned, or how deeply you have gone in sin, or how deeply your sins are rooted. Christ shed his blood for you. He pardons the most guilty. He forgives the most vile. He saves the worst of sinners. I know he does, because he saved me. Hallelujah. And he welcomes all of us into the family of God as we welcome him into our hearts. With outstretched arms, Jesus is saying to the sinner, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Hallelujah. The songwriter said, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. See, it is not a gospel of works. It is a gospel of grace. And where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. And there's room at the cross for everyone who wants to come. I sat down and I wrote these words. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. Amen. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord brought that old song to me. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? And this is where the Lord really touched my heart. I cried, Lord Jesus, and he spoke my name. I saw his hands all bruised and torn. I stooped to kiss away the marks of shame, the shame for me that he had borne. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? Father, I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts. Lord, we're headed to revival. And Lord, we're headed toward Easter and the resurrection. And Lord, we've been watching you as you died upon that cross. And Lord, we've been going through each and every cry. We watched you tread the winepress alone. We watched you, Lord, forsaken of God. We watched you as you have taken our sins and the sins of the whole world upon yourself. And Lord, our hearts, Lord, have been broken as we watched you suffer. Yet, Lord, our hearts rejoice because you, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despising the shame. You overcame, and now you have sat down at the right hand of the Father. And Father, we thank you for the blood We thank you for the price that was paid for us. Oh God, help us to take up our cross daily, to crucify this flesh, and to follow you. And Lord, during this revival, would that not revive us again?
Yes, Lord.
That thy people may rejoice in thee.
Yes.
Let us stand. Will thou not revive us again, Father, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Hallelujah.
And I heard the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Holy Spirit.
All
Holy Ghost.
To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I said, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Verse 2.
Lord, now,
has anyone in here tonight,
indeed I find,
and you're not sure that you're saved? You're not sure that all of your sins are under the blood. I invite you to come down and to boldly say, Lord, I'm coming to you. Though my sins are scarlet, I know you're going to wash them as white as snow. I know you paid for me at Calvary, and I'm going to come to you, Lord.
Old sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.